1 Corinthians 13. And now I will show you the most excellent way. If I speak in the tongues of men and of angels, but have not love, I am only a resounding gong or a clanging cymbal. If I have the gift of prophecy and can fathom all mysteries and all knowledge, and if I have a faith that can move mountains, but have not love, I am nothing. If I give all I possess to the poor, and surrender my body to the flames, but have not love, I gain nothing. Love is patient. Love is kind. It does not envy. It does not boast. It is not proud. It is not rude. It is not self-seeking. It is not easily angered. It keeps no record of wrongs. Love does not delight in evil, but rejoices with the truth. It always protects, always trusts, always hopes, always perseveres. Love never fails. But where there are prophecies, they will cease. Where there are tongues, they will be stilled. Where there is knowledge, it will pass away. For we know in part, and we prophesy in part, but when perfection comes, the imperfect disappears. When I was a child, I talked like a child, I thought like a child, I reasoned like a child. When I became a man, I put childish ways behind me. Now we see but a poor reflection as in a mirror. Then we shall see face to face. Now I know in part, then I shall know fully, even as I am fully known. And now these three remain, faith, hope, and love, but the greatest of these is love. The grass withers and the flower fades, but the word of our God stands forever. Well, friends, I hope you realize how blessed you are to be here tonight. And what a great privilege it is for you to hear me preach. My preaching is likely the best preaching in our denomination. Perhaps even the best preaching in North America. In fact, my preaching is so good, I can hardly wait to hear myself preach tonight. I'm glad that you're laughing. How awful it would be if I would stand before you and say those sorts of things seriously. How off-putting it is to hear someone speak like that. Boys and girls, what was I doing when I was speaking like that? What's the word? I was boasting. No, I was lying. Trying to make it sound like boasting. But that's boasting, isn't it? Or sometimes we call it bragging. That's a word that maybe is more familiar to you. Boasting or bragging. Boasting is something that people often like to do, but hate to hear. We hate to hear it from other people, but often it's the very thing that we ourselves can do. And in 1 Corinthians chapter 13, the Holy Spirit teaches us, as Paul wrote, love, see it there in verse 4, and this is where we are in our study, love does not boast. Love does not boast. The word used here in the original Greek is used only here in all of the New Testament. It's a very unique word. But though that word is used only here, the theme of boasting is really found throughout Scripture. It's a very common, pervasive theme. The word that Paul used here is a word that means arrogance in speech. It refers to someone who is full of bluster or bragging. It's what happens when someone seeks to glorify themselves in their language and in their speech. But Paul says, love does not boast. You know, the Bible has, sadly, many examples of people who were boasters. And we are to learn from those examples. Boys and girls, Haman, in the book of Esther, was a boaster. He thought he was so great, Esther 5, verse 11, Haman boasted about his vast wealth, his many sons, and all the ways the king had honored him, and how he had elevated him above all the other nobles and officials. Haman was a bragger. He was a boaster. But what happened to Haman? We have an English saying, hoisted on your own petard, which means hanged on your own gallows. And if you remember the story, you know. If you don't, you should read the book of Esther again and see how God dealt with a boaster. In the book of Daniel, we meet King Nebuchadnezzar, who at one point in his life was a boaster. Daniel 4:30, Nebuchadnezzar says, as he looks out over Babylon, "Is that not this the great Babylon that I have built as the royal residence by my mighty power and for the glory of my majesty? Look at what I've done." And he was boasting. And what did God do? He made him live and act like a beast of the field until he was humbled before God. But boasting isn't something confined to the Old Testament. We find people boasting in the New Testament as well. In Acts chapter 8, Simon, he's called Simon Magus, Simon the Great. "Now for some time a man named Simon had practiced sorcery in the city and amazed all the people of Samaria. He boasted that he was someone great." There are so many examples in Scripture of people who are boasting. We're saying, "Look at how great I am. Look at what I've done." And they're boasting, and God deals with them. There are many warnings in the Scripture against boasting. Psalm 12, verse 3, "May the Lord cut off all flattering lips and every boastful tongue." Psalm 49 speaks of those who trust in their wealth and boast of their great riches. People even make boasts about death and eternity. Isaiah 28, the people there, it says, "You boast, we have entered into a covenant with death. With the grave we've made an agreement. When an overwhelming scourge sweeps by, it cannot touch us, for we have made a lie our refuge and falsehood our hiding place." These people think that they're so great, even death doesn't bother them, won't touch them. In Romans chapter 1, when Paul is describing the reprobate mind and those who have been given over in sin, he says that they are, in verse 30, slanderers, God-haters, insolent, arrogant, and boastful. You know, we live in a very boasting age. In a lot of ways, boasting is acceptable. In fact, if you do certain things, you get what are called bragging rights, don't you? You win the hockey tournament, you have bragging rights for a year. Look at how good we are. In all sorts of ways, that's what people want to do. They want to get to a place, so they wouldn't say it this way, but that's what they want to get to, a place where they have bragging rights. Look at what I've done. Look at what I've accomplished. Look at who I am. People brag about what they even are planning to do. James 4:15 reminds us, as you should say, "If the Lord wills, we will do this or that." As it is, James says, you boast and brag. All such boasting is evil. You see, boasting is broader than we may think. When we don't have the Lord in our plans and we just say, "I'm going to do this, I'm going to do that," the Bible calls that boasting, because it is ascribing to yourself a power over the future to be able, you think, to do this or that, and leaving the Lord out of it. That's why it says in Proverbs 27:1, "Do not boast about tomorrow, for you do not know what a day may bring forth." In 2 Timothy chapter 3, what will people be like in the last times, the end times? People will be lovers of themselves, lovers of money, boastful. It's always right there as a bad fruit in people's lives, boasting and bragging. Boys and girls, I don't want to say this in an absolute way, but I've been learning more and more, be very careful about sentences that come out of your mouth that begin with the word I. Just be careful. Be careful about sentences that come out of your mouth that begin with the word I. Because those sentences have you at the center. And those sentences can very often be boastful sentences. Boastful words. We can boast about all sorts of things. We can boast about our abilities, our accomplishments, our talents, our possessions, our plans. The Bible speaks about all these things and how people can boast about them. John says in 1 John 2:16, "For everything in the world, the cravings of the sinful man, the lust of his eyes, the boasting of what he has and what he does. All my possessions, all my accomplishments." This is fertile ground for boasting. Doesn't mean that we're not called to be excellent or to do excellent things, but we have to be careful. Just like the Bible says, pride is always crouching at the door. That's what we're going to look at next time. Love is not proud, but here it's pride in the speech, boasting about what we have and what we've done. These things come not from the Father, but from the world. Paul reminds the people of God in 1 Corinthians 4:7, "Who makes you different from anyone else? What do you have that you did not receive?" And here he's getting at the foolishness of boasting and the evil of it. If you did receive it, why do you boast as though you did not? There's the real key to killing boasting. It's to understand that everything we have and everything that we're able to do is a gift from God. And the moment we begin boasting, that's the moment that we stop living and understanding that we live by grace. Everything that we have is a gift. And if you received it, why do you boast as though you did not? Because, friends, we really have nothing to boast about. We have nothing to boast about. In Romans chapter 4, verse 2, it says, "Abraham, if in fact Abraham was justified by works, he had something to boast about, but not before God." Before God, no human being can boast, because we haven't done anything worthy of the approval of God. So Paul says early in Romans 3, where is boasting? It is excluded. There's no place for it. On what principle? Of observing the law? No, but on that of faith. And here we see how the gospel deals with boasting, which comes from the world. "For it is by grace you have been saved, through faith. And this not of yourselves, it is the gift of God." You see, God has given us everything we have as a gift. All our possessions, all our talents, all our skills. This is all a gift, but especially in the gospel. It is gift, theology. "For it is by grace you have been saved through faith. It is not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not by works, so that no one can boast." There it is. Right at the heart of who we are as new creatures in Jesus Christ, new people in Jesus Christ. Every shred of boasting is excluded because it's nothing of us. It's all of God's grace. And all of Christ. So Paul says in Galatians 6:14, "May I never boast except," boys and girls, here's the one place where the Bible says you're allowed to boast. "May I never boast except in the cross of the Lord Jesus Christ." If you must boast, then here's where you're allowed to boast. You boast in the Lord Jesus Christ, through which the world has been crucified to me and I to the world. So Paul says in 1 Corinthians 1:31, "Therefore, as it is written, let him who boasts boast in the Lord." This is the teaching of Scripture. We should not boast. Let another man's lips praise you and not your own. And you see how it fits into the context and the thinking of Paul here in the Spirit in 1 Corinthians 13. Because he's speaking about love. What does love do? Love does good to others. And so the first two things that we considered was it love suffers long and is kind. Love does good to others. Love then is related to the goods of others. Love does not envy. And now we're seeing love related to our own goods, we could say, our own talents, our possessions, the things we have and can do and accomplish. And what's the answer? Love does not boast about those things. If we find ourselves below others, in different ways, we must not envy. But if we find ourselves above others, we must not boast about those things. But notice here that the Bible just doesn't say, do not boast. It says, love does not boast. And that's where we have to really think about why God is talking about boasting here in 1 Corinthians 13. What is it about love that is antithetical to boasting? So that if we have boasting in our lives, we don't have gospel love. But if we have gospel love, we won't be people who boast. What does love do to boasting? Well, we have to think of what love is. First of all, we are called to love God. Love God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength. This is the first commandment. Love God. Who is God? He is the sovereign God. He is the God of sovereign grace. And if we love God, we love His sovereignty. He gives as He sees fit. All that we have is a gift. Here we come back again. Nothing we have is ultimately self-achieved or self-accomplished. Boasting does not recognize and does not love God's sovereign grace in all of life. So if we love God, who is sovereign, we'll realize that everything that we have is His gift to us. But especially we are called to love Christ. To love Christ. We were sinners, lost and helpless and hopeless in sin. If we love Christ, and we love Him because of who He is and what He's done for us in the gospel, if we love Christ, then we must be aware of who we were and what He's done for us by grace. And so we cannot boast. If we love Christ, we must understand the gospel. We cannot boast. And of course, we know that we are called to love others. Boasting really seeks to put others down. It seeks to put us up. And if we are putting us up, others must be down. So boasting puts others down, but love doesn't put others down. Love wants to see others built up. Boasting is always self-centered. Look at me. Look at me. Love is never self-centered. It is other-focused. And so you see how boasting and love can't go together. Because when you're boasting, who is in the center? Who are you thinking about, boys and girls, when you're boasting? Yourself. Yourself. Love considers others before yourself. That's the mind of Christ, Philippians chapter 2. It will be gospel love, you see, that will enable you and encourage you to stop boasting. However that may come up in our lives, even if the words never come out of our mouths. But you know, a lot of boasting can go on in here. You know, you look at other people and you start to think and to pray like the Pharisees. Oh, Lord, I'm glad I'm not like them. I'm not like him. You're boasting. You're boasting. But gospel love enables and encourages us to put an end to boasting. One scholar said, and this is so helpful, boasting is set aside not by sheer will, as with the Stoics. The Stoics were an ancient group of philosophers that had very high moral standards, and they wrote about boasting. And they said, you should not boast, so just don't boast. You see, that's not the gospel. That's not the way the gospel deals with it. Boasting is set aside not by sheer will, as with the Stoics, but love itself sets it aside in the more excellent way. It'll be gospel love that's filling our hearts that will squeeze out self and boasting. Do you remember what God said through the prophet Jeremiah? This is what the Lord says. Let the wise man not boast of his wisdom, or the strong man boast of his strength, or the rich man boast of his riches, but let him who boasts boast about this, that he understands and knows me, that I am the Lord, who exercises kindness, justice, and righteousness on the earth. For in these things I delight, declares the Lord.